I want to preach a kind of a different style of sermon to you this morning. It's going to be started off a little bit as teaching. It's going to be a doctrinal sermon. Don't let that scare you. But I want to help you. There is a lot of religion in our world today, but religion doesn't mean right. Matter of fact, religion in the Bible was never spoken of positively. Religion is not Christianity. I want to tell you what God has to say about an issue, and I want you to listen to me. There has been for many years a very bad teaching amongst religious people and even amongst what we would say Christians that is very, very wrong. This teaching is probably done more to confuse and send people to hell than just about any doctrine that I know. If you'll listen to me very carefully here, I'm going to talk, and this is not the title, but I'm going to use a big long college word here for a moment. It's the doctrine of what they call dispensationalism. This is a teaching that the Old Testament is law, the New Testament is grace. There is nothing farther from the truth in the Bible than that. Let me say that again. There is nothing farther from the truth than that. People have never been saved by the law or works. Let me say that again. Nobody has ever been saved by the law. And what they call law isn't even the law referred to in the scripture. How did these people get saved before there was a law? Moses didn't come on the scenes until after Abraham and Noah and the flood. Hey, what about the 3,000 years of history before then? See, dispensationalists teach, well, before the flood, people got saved one way. After the flood, before Moses, they got saved another way. Then after the law, they got saved one way. And then between the end of the Old Testament and New Testament, they got saved another way. During the time of Jesus, they got saved another way. And since Calvary, they get saved another way. That's wicked as the devil. God did not change his mind. Galatians chapter 2 verse 16 says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Nobody has ever been saved by keeping a law. Everybody doing okay? Now hang on. God does not change the gospel based on when you were born. Aren't you glad of that? You see, it's never been about when you were born. It's been about who he is. The Bible is God's words to man. By the way, that's why we shouldn't fiddle with it. Amen. That's why man doesn't need to rewrite it. He ought to reread it. Amen. We don't need man's interpretation of what God said. God was quite capable of saying what he meant to say. Why would he give us something that did not work in all generations? Why would God say when it comes to the gospel that it's going to be different for this people and different for that people and different for those people and different? Hey, my God is the same God to everybody. Amen. Truth is truth. Did you know that the sun rises in the east and sets in the west? Did you know that's true no matter where you're at in the world? Do you know it doesn't matter if you're a Christian or a lost person? It's the same. You say, why? Because truth is truth. Doesn't matter whether you accept it or not. Mr. Schofield, in the Schofield Reference Bible, is totally wrong. Well, he was a Bible scholar. He was an idiot, too. I'm borrowing a word from Brother Scott. When it comes to the topic of dispensationalism, Mr. C.I. Schofield is as wrong as the devil. Everybody doing okay? Listen to me very closely. God chose to put Calvary and the resurrection in the center of history. It doesn't change the truth that salvation is by grace through faith to everybody. Now you say, well, God hid the gospel and it was a mystery. God hid the gospel from the stinking devil. You see, God chose to use the devil to crucify Jesus. Watch this. Jesus did not come to earth to become a man. The Bible says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He came to earth to put on a body that could die for us as the Lamb of God. He's always been the man part of God. Genesis chapter 1. Let us make man in our own image. In the image of God created he him. He has always been the man part of God. Watch this. He came to earth to put on a body that could die. He had to be robed in flesh. You say, why? To pay the penalty for our sins. The mystery of the gospel is that it went through about 4,000 or 5,000 years of history without the devil knowing what it was. He hid it from the devil. You say, why is that? Because in the New Testament it says, had he known it, he would not have crucified the Lord of glory. That's why when Jesus cast out demons and they said, we know who you are, he said, don't you tell anybody. You keep your mouth shut because I got to talk to your boss about this later. That's exactly why he told the demons every time to shut their mouth. By the way, I preached a sermon on that a couple weeks ago. It's a shame that the demons obey better than man does. God hid the gospel from the devil, not from man. God did not change how man got salvation. Let me show you what I mean. Brother Josh, could you stand on that side of the platform? This pulpit is going to represent Calvary. Picture that pulpit as Calvary. And Brother Josh is the Old Testament. Turn looking at me for a moment. He is in the Old Testament. This is Noah and Abraham and Adam and Cain and Moses and the rest of the Old Testament. They got saved looking ahead to Calvary. We get saved looking back at Calvary. The only difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament, in the Old Testament, they were looking ahead. In the New Testament, we look back. You say, well, what about all the sacrifices? What about all the offerings and the holy days? Exactly. It had to be more graphic because Jesus had not yet done it. They had to see how bad and how death and sin, how potent it was. Because Jesus had not yet come and given his life for us. Watch this. In the New Testament, we have the same thing. Do you know what the New Testament equivalent to the sacrifices are? It's called the Lord's Supper. Broken body, shed blood. It doesn't have to be as graphic because we have 2,000 plus years of history to prove that it took place. They looked ahead to Calvary like we look ahead to the rapture. Everybody doing okay?
Amen.
Have a seat. You see, that's the only difference. You see, if you went to Hebrews chapter 11, don't take time to turn there, you find out that it says, by faith, Abel. By faith, Enoch. By faith, Noah. By faith, Abraham. It talks about their salvation by faith. By the way, all of those were before the law. They're only including the Mosaic law. By the way, the Ten Commandments never had anything to do with salvation. Ten Commandments were civil law. That was the government. That's why they were posted at the courthouses of America, because it had everything to do with civil government. It's not a matter of you keeping the Ten Commandments. That's what you're supposed to do as a citizen, not as a Christian, and not to get Christianity. Well, what about all the Levitical laws? Right. All of those Levitical laws were pointing to what Jesus would be and how he would fulfill the gospel for our sake. I'll get into that in a moment. Calvary and the resurrection was Jesus fulfilling all of the Levitical laws. As he stood there looking to Calvary, Jesus became the perfect sacrifice. He was the lamb without blemish. He was the one in whom there was no guile and no sin. There was no fermentation in his blood. There was no sin. He was a perfect sacrifice. But watch this. He not only was our sacrifice, he had to be our high priest. It wasn't just the death of Jesus that brought you salvation. John MacArthur used to be a heretic preacher in California and said, well, it doesn't matter about which way Jesus died. He could have been strangled to death. No. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen. Hey, there is no salvation given in any name under heaven except Jesus. And it wasn't just his death. The blood didn't trickle to the foot of the cross. We find out later Jesus took his blood, put it on the mercy seat in heaven. He fulfilled everything of the Old Testament tabernacle and temple. That's why he said, upon this rock I'll build my church, not my temple.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
We are not to be building temples, we're to be building churches.
Amen.
The temple was done away with at Calvary because Jesus fulfilled it all. That's why they all got upset with him. That's why it was the priests and the scribes and the Pharisees who crucified Jesus. They got the politicians involved to do the dirty work, but the people that led him there were the temple people, the religious crowd. Colossians chapter 2, verse 14. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or of a new moon or the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of the things to come, but the body is of Christ. When Jesus died at Calvary, all of the Old Testament stuff was nailed to the cross. Watch this. Because he became our high priest also.
Amen.
He died. He paid sin's debt. He was in the grave 3 days, three nights. Why? He said, because Hebrew law said you weren't truly dead till you've been dead 3 days and three nights. They figured after 3 days and three nights, you ain't sucked air, you're not going to suck it again. I don't know how else to say that. Folks, my first funeral, everybody laughs at this story, but it's true. My youth director, when I was a teenager, said, look, if you don't know what to do, just go to the Bible, find out what Jesus did and do it. Did you know the first funeral, I didn't know what to say, so I went to the Bible and found out every funeral Jesus went to, the guy got up out of the grave and walked away. I called him and said, that's not funny. I'm serious, man. Can I tell you something? I've done hundreds and hundreds and probably thousands of funerals. May I say something? The first time one of them puppies sit up in that casket, I'm out of there. Brother Scott, don't get any ideas, all right? Ain't going to happen, because I promise you, somebody else is preaching, I'm out of there. I'm going to have a personal rapture. Exit stage anywhere, I'll find a door or make one. Amen? Now, watch this. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, verses 16 through 20, look at me and I'll just preface this. Both the Old Testament and the New Testament were paid for by blood. The Bible says they were paid for by blood. In the Old Testament, they sacrificed that blood as a picture of what Jesus would do. When he came, he prepaid for those of us after Calvary. It's all paid for by the blood.
Amen.
Notice what it says in Hebrews chapter 9. Look at verse number 16. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For the testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool, hyssop, and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, This is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood. Guess what? There was no law unless it was purged by the blood. Therefore, it was the blood, not the law.
Yes, sir.
Everybody doing okay? I don't care if you drive 55 miles an hour and keep the speed limit crossed here on Charlestown Road from where it turns to 55 from 45. If you keep the speed limit, guess what? That doesn't get you to heaven. In some cases, it might get you there faster. The way some people drive. The testament can only be enforced. The testament can only be utilized. Watch this. When the death of the testator takes place. Interesting. Stand up here for a second, Brother Josh. He's going to be my dead dummy here. Guess what? Many of you would have what they call a will, correct? That is for when you pass away, it's to take care of your earthly goods and your children or whatever. Guess what? It's of none effect until you die. It's called the last will and testament. The word testament has to do with personal property when one passes away. The will is, this is what I want done with certain things, certain people, but the testament portion is your actual personal goods, your value, your monies and things. Guess what? As long as you're alive, you have no legal access to it. Thank you. Have a seat. Now watch this. While Jesus was alive, we didn't have access to it. That's why the Old Testament saints went to Abraham's bosom. When Jesus died and paid our sin debt, he spent 3 days in the heart of the earth in Abraham's bosom. Watch this. When he came up out of the grave, he took all of the Old Testament saints with him. Because it took the death of the testator. It took his death. But watch this. He not only died as our lamb, he resurrected as our high priest.
Amen.
Now, hang on. I'm about to shout. It wasn't a new dispensation. It wasn't a new age. God was not dealing with man differently. Now, I realize in the Old Testament, God heard people speak. I realize in the Old Testament, by the way, you say, why is that? Because the devil's not omnipresent. He gave us the word of God verbally because the devil wasn't around when God was speaking it. Everybody doing okay? We now have the entire Bible and God doesn't speak that way anymore. Don't need to. We have it all. Man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We got every word. Everybody doing okay? Now watch this. Well, he used to speak in dreams and visions, yeah? And when we had the complete word of God, we didn't need that either. He said, I got it all written down now. I don't have to hide it from the devil anymore. And just have at it. Now, listen to me very carefully. The testament. In other words, the Bible, both Old and New Testaments, give every person who qualify as a Christian, that means somebody who's gotten saved, in all the rights and all the inheritance of that book. Whew. Hold my mule while I shout. Do you realize the moment you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, and I'm going to skip ahead a little bit, you become a child of God. Amen. Once you become a child of God, you become a joint heir with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That means I get inheritance of everything that God owns.
Amen.
I'm about to step on the dummy. I'm not used to somebody sitting there. Hang on here for a second. Today I want to show you how it's not a different dispensation. how that Jesus said there's an Old Testament and there is a New Testament, but they're not different in the way you think they're different. I just came and fulfilled one for everybody. Number one, God does not change with time because he is eternal. God does not change with time because God is eternal. Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 8. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Guess what? God is the same past, present, and future.
Amen.
You see, our sin has made us change. God is not affected by change because God did not sin. God does not get older. God is the same. God doesn't age. He is the same. He doesn't have the problem we had when we got out of bed this morning and everything creaked, cracked, and sounded like a box of cereal. Snap, crackle, and pop. God didn't wake up sick this morning because God's not a sinner. God's not going to die because God did not sin. We are affected by sin, and it causes our bodies to change, causes our brain to change, causes our soul to change. But guess what? Jesus Christ, the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. We have the same God that Adam had. We have the same God that Noah had. We have the same God that Jacob had. We have the same God that Abraham had, and that David, and that Daniel, and that Matthew, and Mark, and Luke, and John, and the Apostle Paul had. We have the same God.
Amen.
We have the exact same power available to us as they had. Now listen to this. Man wants to think of God as an improved man, though. They want to think of God in man's terminology. Let me teach you something very valuable here. When somebody attacks you, they just tell you how they're thinking. What makes our president a good president? I'll tell you one of the things, he knows how to turn the press inside out for sure. Say how? Because as they attack him, they're showing you how they think if they were in his position. They accuse him of using Nazi tactics. Guess who the ones using Nazi tactics are? The ones accusing him of it. I loved when he called Hillary a liar. Number one, she is. She accused him of lying the whole time. Now, nobody's perfect. We're all liars. We come forth from the womb speaking lies, the Bible says. Now, man wants to see dispensations because that's how man would deal with another man. That's not how God did it. We have a hard time thinking in eternity. We are so bound by time. And dispensations are bound by time, but they're not bound by God. God is not held to time. Did you know God doesn't go by your clock?
That's right.
Some of you ought to be glad because yours is late all the time. I wasn't asking for confessions, all right? God is eternal and always keeps his word. This is why Jesus in Genesis 3:15 could promise that he would pay the price and God accepted it. Because Jesus would keep his word. The Holy Spirit does not work outside the confines of that book right there. Say why? Because the Holy Spirit is God and God can't work outside the confines of his own word. Somebody tells me that God told them to go do something and they can't back it with a piece of scripture and it be in context, I tell them they're an idiot and it's not the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Say why? Because God can't break his own word. The Holy Spirit is bound by the word of God, just like we should be. Oh, I must hurry. That's why in Genesis 3:15 it said that he would crush Satan's head, but it would bruise Jesus' heel. That's why in Romans chapter 16, verse number 20, it talked about Jesus' heel being bruised by the devil after Calvary. It was a bruise on Jesus, but it sure crushed the devil's head for sure. Sent him a squalling. Number two, I got to hurry. Jesus had to die to validate or to enact the testaments, both old and new. Jesus had to die to validate or to enact or to bring in force both testaments. Notice it says it was paid for in blood. I don't have time to go through it, but when they built the tabernacle in the wilderness with Moses, the Bible had says that Aaron became the high priest. Now watch this. When they built the tabernacle in the wilderness, all of the instruments were purged with blood. Now watch this. They had the outer courtyard, they had the holy place, and they had the Holy of Holies. Out here's where the brass laver was, where they would wash their hands. They had the altar where they would make the sacrifices. Then they would go into the actual building itself, and you had the table of showbread over here. You had the golden candlestick here. You had the altar of incense here, and you had a very thick veil between that and the Holy of Holies. Only once a year was the high priest alone allowed to go into the Holy of Holies. Into this Holy of Holies was one piece of furniture. It was about the size of a Lord's Supper table, and in it had three things. It had the law in there, I believe, basically, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Then it had a seat on top of that called the mercy seat. Then there were two seraphims made out of gold, six wings each. Won't go into all that. Once a year, the high priest had to wash his hands, had to sacrifice a perfect lamb, had to be put up, kept up 3 days, 3 nights, make sure it was without blemish, sacrifice it, put the blood in a bowl, take a hyssop weed with him, walk into and past the holy place. Go under that veil, go into the Holy of Holies, sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat, and the Shekinah glory of God would come down and hover over that tabernacle and in the tabernacle on that seat every year. That's called Passover. Watch this. For the remission of sins, to show the people what God was doing. I'm about to have a spell. Did you realize that those who get saved, you go through the same process? And Jesus died. All of those things were sprinkled by the blood. They were all a picture of the tabernacle in heaven. The Bible talks about the true tabernacle. God actually pulled the veil of heaven back and showed Moses what it was to look like, took his own finger and wrote in those tables of stone the blueprints for every part of that. And once a year, God would come and sit on that mercy seat. The Shekinah glory of God would shine. By the way, if the priest went in and he was touched by human hands from the time he washed until he got the blood applied, God would kill him. If he took the wrong sacrifice, God would kill him. They wore bells on the bottom of their garments so that when the people saw the Shekinah glory of God, if they didn't hear the jangling of the bells, they would reach in with a big shepherd's hook and reach in there and pull the priest out because God had killed him because he didn't do something right. Now watch this. That was just a picture of what Jesus was going to do. Jesus was our lamb, but he was also our high priest. But he had to die as the lamb before he could perform the duty of the high priest. Now hang on just a second. Our inheritance is eternal. Romans chapter 8, verses 9 through 16, you can read them later, talks about if you've been saved, you become a child of God, you're adopted as well as a child. Did you know if you legally adopt somebody, you can't legally unadopt them from your will? Even if you want to disown them, they still have access to your will because you adopted them. God not only birthed us into his family spiritually, but he adopted us into his family physically. He did both. I've got to hurry. Number three, Jesus is our high priest. Jesus is our high priest. I said a moment ago, he died as our lamb. Watch this. He was the Lamb of God. John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Amen. He was without spot. He had no sin. There was no sin in him. He was perfect. He was sinless. They crucified him. He gave his life. He gave his blood. But watch this. 3 days and three nights later, he resurrected. Do you know what the high priest would say after he successfully put the blood on the mercy seat and the Shekinah glory would come down? He would walk out of the tabernacle to the congregation of the people. He would raise his hands up and say, "It is finished." I'm about to holler here. Do you know what the last thing Jesus said while he was on the cross? "It is finished." Amen. He was dying, but he was saying, "I'm the high priest. Hang on, it's done." 3 days and three nights later, he resurrected. The earthquake, the stone rolled away, and they looked in. He was not there. And he was walking through the garden, and Mary was there. And he said, "Ma'am, why are you crying?" She said, "My master, they took him, and we don't know where they laid him." And he said, "Mary," she said, "uh-oh, that's Jesus, Rabboni." And she went to hug him. He said, "Don't touch me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father." Watch this. Why did he say that? He had just conquered death, but he hadn't been to heaven yet. He said, "I'm your high priest. Don't touch me. I have the blood. I've got to go to heaven. I've got to go to the presence of God. And I've got to walk into that tabernacle and put my very own blood on that mercy seat for your salvation, or I got to do it all again. Don't touch me. Go get everybody, and I'll come back and see you after a bit." He performed the duty of the high priest and put his very own blood. There are not scars in the hands of Jesus, there are wounds. He told Thomas a week later, "Put your hand into my side. Put your finger into the holes in my hand." They were still open wounds. Say why? Because Jesus had to go to heaven and place his own blood on the mercy seat of God for our eternal salvation. It was finished. It was finished. Now watch this. That's why Jesus started the church. That's why Jesus was not of the tribe of Levi. Hebrews chapter 10 teaches us. Jesus was from the tribe of Judah, not Levi. He said, "I know there will be people who will worship the priesthood. That has to be done away because the temple should be done away." That's why they got upset. He said, "I'll destroy this temple in 3 days, raise it up again." See, the moment a person gets saved, it says that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. God gave us the Holy Spirit to indwell us and indwell our temple. We no longer need a temple. We have the church for the saints, but the temple is the body of the believer. Yes, that is where the presence of God dwells, in the Holy Spirit. Amen. By the way, that's why, according to the Bible, we don't have priests. We don't need a pope. We don't need a priest. We don't need a holy father or the holy mother. We got plenty of holy cows. That's why all the Old Testament rituals are not needed. We don't need the Sabbath. We don't, by the way, all the Sabbaths, according to Colossians 2, were nailed to the cross. We don't need the holy days. They were all nailed to the cross. We don't need the Levitical laws. They're all done away with. Jesus fulfilled them all. May I say this very carefully? We have too many people who are religious, relying on all of the religiosity to get them saved. All of the laws and all of the, let's dress him up and call him El Papa, and he dresses like Mama. Put a $500,000 grapefruit on his head. And we want to count beads and pray through Mother Mary. Well, she's the mother of God. No, she wasn't. She was a vessel to birth the body of our Savior. Notice the Bible says that thou art hardly favored. Blessed art thou among women, not above. Do you know that there was only one person in the Bible, one lady in the Bible that said that she was blessed above women? Do you know who it was? An Old Testament judge named Deborah. Not my wife. She married me and ruined that blessing for sure. Knocked her down a few pegs. Can I tell you something? Mary was not the issue. She was a clean, chaste, virgin young lady like every young lady ought to be when they hit the altar for their wedding. There is nothing wrong with being a virgin.
Amen.
It's godly. It's right.
Right.
We got too much sleeping around and whoring around in America today.
Right.
Too much fornicating. Keep your hands off till you say, I do, at the altar with the preacher.
Amen.
That goes for teenagers as well as for old people, too. Everybody doing okay? I still come from a generation that believes shacking up, sacking up.
Right.
Sin, and it's wrong. See, Jesus was our lamb, but he also was our high priest. He fulfilled it all. That's why we don't wear the robes and the phylacteries. That's why we don't have all of the Old Testament symbology, because Jesus fulfilled it all. What you're saying in the religion that does that is what Jesus did was not complete. That is man trying to play God. It'll be a cold day where the booger man lives before I wear a robe. That would be indecent exposure for sure. A couple weeks ago, I had shingles from my shoulders to my toes. About the only thing I could wear was a robe. I thought about preaching that night, but we weren't going to do it that way. This would not be a good thing. Can I tell you something? What Jesus did, Jesus paid it all.
Sorry.
He bought it all with his blood.
Amen.
He took care of both the Old Testament and the New Testament. It was purged by blood. By the way, notice he purged it in the Old Testament before with blood. He purged it in the New Testament before with blood. It was paid for by blood. That's why you're not good enough to get to heaven, because you're a sinner just like I am. We're all sinners. There's a penalty on sin. It's called death and hell. Revelation chapter 20, in death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You say, well, how could a loving God send anybody to hell? He does not. Hell was not created for man. Hell was created for the devil and his angels that followed him in heaven. That was done before man was created. And when man listened to Satan in the Garden of Eden, he committed the same sin that Satan committed. Therefore, the same penalty because of God's justice is upon man. But I want you to notice something. Jesus came and paid the sin debt for man, not for the devil. Did you ever notice Jesus didn't come and die for the devil and his angels? God loved you so much that he gave his only begotten son.
Amen.
That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life.
Amen.
Oh, may I say this. The Old Testament pointed to Jesus coming at Calvary. The New Testament points Jesus to coming again at the rapture. Someday a trumpet's going to sound. And when that trumpet sounds, the dead in Christ will rise first. The graves are going to kick open, and everybody that's been saved and died going to pop out of them graves and go up into the sky. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet him in the clouds. There'll be a period of 7 years, 3.5 years of peace, and then 3.5 years of hell on earth. The Antichrist will rule. Watch this. But after that, Jesus is coming back, and guess who's riding on white horses with him? We are. And Jesus will put down the devil and the armies of this world at a place called Armageddon, where the blood will rise to the bridle of the horse. Now watch this. And then for 1,000 years, Jesus will rule and reign on this earth, and we will be his rulers with him.
Amen.
The crowns that you earn as a Christian are your rank during the millennial kingdom. I don't know about you. I'm looking forward to that day. We don't have to put up with Democrats, Republicans, Independents, or anybody else. We don't have to put up with crummy Bernie and all the rest of the socialists. We don't have to put up with all the bad government. The government will be upon his shoulders. And he will be the king of all the world and the universe. And we will rule and reign with him. After that, God will create a new heaven and a new earth. And we will ever be with the Lord. It's a New Testament, not a new dispensation. There is no difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament, except which direction you're pointed to at Calvary. Well, I don't like reading the Old Testament. Why? If you like the New Testament, you ought to love the Old Testament. You already saw what did happen. Find out why it needed to happen. That's all it is. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done. I want you to be honest for a moment. Who'd say, preacher, if I died today, I am 100% sure. I know for sure I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I know I'm going to heaven when I die. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Thank you. Who'd say, preacher, if I died today, I'm not 100% sure I'd go to heaven, but I'd like to know it someday. Would you raise your hand? All right. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere in that sermon, something I needed today. That was for me. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Dozens and dozens of hands. You may put them down. In a moment, we'll stand to our feet. When we stand to our feet, the piano begin to play. When the piano begins to play, if you raised your hand and said, preacher, man, I need something, how about you come to an old-fashioned altar? Let somebody take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure you're going to heaven. Maybe you just raised your hand and said, God gave me something and I just need to get it right with him. Will you come? If you've been saved and never baptized, we could take care of that today. If you've been saved and baptized, I'd like to join an old-fashioned church. Not telling you, you heard the truck dumped on you today. We are what we are. If you'd like to be a part of our church family, we'd love to have you. But how about you do business with God today? How about you humble yourself and kneel before him?